Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello there, and welcome back to Full Times in a Podcast. You join us on the evening of the 11th of February. We've got two games to discuss since we were last on. So we've got the Hibs League game that saw Celtic win 2-1 through an injury time Adam Ida penalty. And then we had a relatively comfortable 2-0 victory in the Cup against St Mirren the day in Paisley. Goals through Kyogo and Daizen Maeda. It's Darren here, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Danny and Tony. Danny, I'll come with you first. After the Aberdeen game, there was a lot of worry about what the two games after that were going to bring. People were slightly concerned. Obviously, we dropped points at Aberdeen. People thought we might drop points at Easter Road, and we weren't too far away from doing that. But although the performances weren't stellar, it's been a great response from the team in terms of fighting to win these two games.
Aye, the Hibs game was a bit of a struggle, I think. We won, but we didn't kind of go any further forward than what we'd been. I think it's fair to say, but we dug it out. It was two penalties for Ida, but it just wasn't a great game. I think after what had happened the night before with them getting joint tap and all the rest of it, I think I was one of them certainly that wanted a proper response and like wanted to just to go out and blow Hibs away and kind of say, right, you know, you can come joint that way, but we're going to stretch away. And we never really got it. I know we got an early goal, but we never kicked on in an early goal. Next thing you know, you conceded, and then you're fucking scrambling about looking for a winner. Then we got another penalty, which was just a stupid tackle for Joe Newell. It was a clear foul, and then I'd put it away. And then the day was much more like it. It was professional. I didn't think we were great, but we dug it out, we got a clean sheet. I was more happy about the clean sheet than anything else, Dan. I actually thought they defended really well. I thought Welsh was my best player. Part of the good game, Scales defended well. He's still pretty poor with the ball, but defensively, they were very sound today. Ralston was sound as well. So, and St Mirren were up for it. You could tell, you know, they fancied taking us. And so, you know, clean sheet, 2-0 into the next round. It was, and two good goals as well. Two very well goals. And it was good to see Palma actually producing something out wide for both goals.
I definitely, as you say, it's the Hibs game. I thought first half we were pretty dominant. Obviously, get the penalty really early through a clear foul, and Alistair Johnson obviously missed most of that game and then today's game because of it. But to me, it's a clear penalty. But I know the penalty was given early on, but I even thought the first 2 or 3 minutes before that we were just so dominant. We were absolutely camped in the sort of final third, and it would have been brilliant to go and get the setting going. First half, I think we deserved it, and we're unfortunate not to come in. And then it was a bit like the Aberdeen game, where the second half we just seemed to fall to pieces. We were unable to get that second goal, and then I think it was just one sort of long ball over our defence, and Welsh pulled the boy back, and I think he got booked for it. And then from the resulting free kick, they scored the equaliser. I think Joe Hart was a bit unsighted. He did get touched there, but I don't think it was much he could do. And then we seemed to go into a bit of disarray for like 20 minutes, and it was really like Hibs really did look like they were the more likely team to go on and then get a winner. He also had a few good chances. Hart had a couple of good saves to his credit. And then we obviously get the penalty. As you say, I thought it was completely deserved. Like, Kyogo gets a shot away and he's just completely clattered by Newell. I think the probably only doubt about it would have been just clarifying where it was in the box. And I think it was just slightly in the box, and fair play to Adam Eder. He had missed a couple of good chances in the second half, I felt, but he's signing alone has been worth it just for the fact that we've got somebody that looks composed and able to slot away penalties. And even after that game, I thought there was a lot of negativity around the place. I thought our second half performance really was pretty poor. There was the football just seemed a lot, like, it was very negative, like constant passing back. I think I seen a stat that was, like, I think it was well over 50% of passes were completed, like, between Scales and Welsh, and just wasn't great to see. And there were some notable, like, poor performances. Like, I know we've had, like, Mikey Johnston against Rangers, we sub-performance, and then Pumble against Ross County, we sub-performance. We've had some real stinkers off the bench this season, but for me, the performance that Leo Labada put off the bench at Easter Road was shameful. I thought it was no surprise to me that he wasn't even on the bench today. I thought it was an absolute pitiful performance, and there was, I think, one bit after we'd scored where he just completely, like, passed it out of play away under absolutely no pressure. So I was just glad to get the 3 points. It's obviously a massive 3 points. With that draw at Aberdeen, we've sort of let any leeway we had slip, and knew it's going to be all about what we do and keeping some sort of momentum going, because we're going to need a sort of final third of the season and the games are going to come thick and fast. And that's why I was delighted with the day's performance. That everybody had spent all week saying it was going to be a tough game, and of course it was. We obviously had a flying start there when we played them just before the winter break, and we're 2-0 up within 10 minutes, but it was slightly more of a challenge today. I thought that St Mirren tried to come out and play against us, and the change of shape with playing Kyogo and Eder up top together, I've said to use two off air. I think that's something that Eder's really bringing to the team, where I feel that when he's on the park with Kyogo's a lot more involved, because he just drops any pockets of space and he maybe drops back a wee bit to get a couple of touches of the ball. And then our first goal, like, I think it's a great pass by Cal McGregor, and then Palmer really, like, it's a real good pick out from him to put Kyogo in the edge of the box. And it's the first time a strike for Kyogo, and delighted that it went in. I think the defender would be pretty disappointed that it went through his legs, but delighted for Kyogo to get back in the score sheet. And again, we down in the park, I think that's what sort of allows Kyogo to get that sort of space on the edge of the box, whereas if he was a sort of lone striker, that might not have become available. And then the second half, I thought first of all, we obviously weathered the storm, and towards the end of the first half, Hart had another couple of good saves, and Gogic hit the bar as well. So it could have been dodgy, like, sort of like scoreline at half time, but I was delighted that we did get to half time. And then, obviously, once again, Palmer puts a great ball in, Matt O'Reilly strike hits the bar, and then Dyson Maeda puts in the rebound. And I thought we sort of seen the game out. We obviously made a few changes after that, and the tempo did sort of drop, but I thought there was a couple of good performances. I actually thought Burnley Bay was pretty good. I think second half at Easter Road, and then today he was a lot more involved. He got a booting, but it was quite unbelievable that he got that booting. So he was just getting fouled well before it, and that happened the other day at Easter Road as well. Like, he seemed to take a few late ones off the Hibs players, but I think as much as Taylor will be straight back in when he's up to speed, I think Burnley Bay's sort of acquitting himself well at the moment. And Fulton McGregor, especially today, looked a lot more driven as well. Delighted for him. Then even seeing a guy like Yang come off the bench, he had a couple of good moments ahead of the day as well. So happy with that. But aye, delighted to be in the next round. We've obviously just come on after the draw of Livingston at home in the next round, which is probably one of the more favourable ties that you could have asked for at this stage. So hopefully that means that we will, like, continue our progress in that and get to the semi-finals at Hampden. And we've now got a week before we return the action against Kilmarnock, but Pony, what have you made of the two games that have happened since we've been on?
I thought the Habs game was a real slog, wasn't it? I was hoping we were going to come out and really show a bit of fight and really kind of try and batter Habs. I thought there was a good chance we were going to be second in the league by then, but obviously Rangers, I think, they only won 2-1 against Aberdeen, so we're still ahead in goal difference. It did feel as though we needed, I think Danny touched on it in our chat anyway, we needed something to fall for us, whether it was a last-minute winner or a 6-0 doing. And as much as it was a last-minute winner, I think after it, people were still really kind of downbeat and concerned, because thinking another day, Hibs probably beat you, they missed a lot of chances, and it did just look disjointed. There's times when we look totally in control in games, and it's decent to watch, and you get in behind, and maybe the final ball isn't so great, but we had to win. If we didn't win that, I think it would we'd have been coming on here shouting and bawling about the board, probably discussing the manager's position. And luckily enough, that's no happened, but we've got the win. I think obviously there's still major issues with the board, but I think the way most people are feeling now is just kind of park it and try and fall over the line with the league title. I don't really know if we'll manage that or not. At the minute, I still don't think we will. I think we're still just missing something that we should have brought in some quality in the January window. But don't get me wrong, I think you need to give the boy Ida a lot of credit, because the response to him being rumoured the way is was totally negative. It wasn't his fault. To step up and score two huge penalties for us to take the lead early on after such a lengthy break and play because of Johnson's injury. And then the 92nd minute, knowing basically if you miss, you've probably had it early on. I thought he'd done great. And I think he's been a good addition. I don't see him as this total donkey that people are making him out to be. I think Brendan's bigging him up, which is good. And I think he should keep trying to boost his confidence. And today, I thought it was okay. I think he just needs to improve his finishing. But you need to hope that that's going to come quite quickly. But no, I think there's been a few times this season where you've had kind of false dawns and you think, right, we're going to really kick on, whereby we won at Ibrox or we won the last minute at Motherwell or even beating the Huns at New Year, and then we've kind of stuttered not long after. So to be fair, I think at the last nine we've won 8. And if you listen to this podcast, you would think we'd lost 8 out of 9, but it's just to do with results prior to that and obviously wanting to maintain the standards we've got and stay top of the league. So today I thought we defended well. I thought St Mirren had a bit of a go. They had a lot of corners. I think at times were just clumsy. I mean, Dyson made a great presser of the ball, but some of the crosses, man, that would drive you fucking mental. just wild crosses. I don't know how he's been here 2 years, how somebody hasn't kind of taught him how to cross a ball without bingo in it out stadium. So, but I'm glad to have him back. Obviously, his work rate and his overall plays, he's reasonably good. Delighted for Kyogo. I thought he really needed a goal and he got one. I thought it was good play with Palma. And I thought Kyogo was good today, as you say. He was a lot more involved, and I think you need that. I don't think he's just a finisher. I think he's a good football player. I think he can pass the ball, he can link it up, and he can shoot for distance as well. So for me, I was glad to see him get his goal, and obviously Maida get his goal as well, which was good. But no, I think it was a tough game where you had to kind of dig deep and a lot of balls coming into the box. I think Joe Hart played his part, and we got out with a 2-0 win, and if you'd offered me that pre-game, I'd have snapped your hand off for it. I think the draw is excellent for us. It's a home tie against Livy, who have struggled. We probably aren't really interested in the cup. They definitely won't be now they know it's coming to Parkhead, I don't think. They're obviously looking like they'll go down, so they need to kind of put all their energy into staying up. And hopefully Rangers slip up and get put out by Hibs. That would be nice for us. But it wasn't a great performance. I don't think it's no like free-flowing football, but I guess it was a shite pitch. And we're still missing players, I guess. It's that as well. CCV and Hitati, you'd say, probably your best midfielder and definitely your best defender. Out for large parts of the season, which hasn't helped. I thought Kuhn looked quite tidy when he came on. He looked as if he'd improved. I agree with you, Dan. I was glad about it. It was nowhere near it. I don't think he should play for us again. I think it's quite clear to say he doesn't want to be here. He's not a bad football player, but he doesn't want to play for Celtic Football Club. I wouldn't have him on the bench again. I mean, you don't need people playing that just definitely don't want to be here, and he's playing like somebody that doesn't want to be here. So for me, bin him totally, and hopefully we can get rid of him as soon as possible in the summer, and that's the end of that. So I think it was the right decision the day by Brendan not to have him anywhere near it. But overall, we've bounced back well for the Aberdeen draw. I think you need to give Joe Hart a bit of credit. I think he kind of saved us a bit against Hibs, and And he done it again against as well as Aberdeen. So as much as I think we need to improve on him, you need to give him a bit of credit. So two big away results, three hard away games in a row. I guess he would have wanted to beat Aberdeen, and he was hopeful we would have, but that's obviously been and gone. So just now we need to kick on. I think next it's Killie at home, Dundee at home, and Motherwell away. Maybe it's Killie at home, Motherwell away, and then Dundee at home. Sorry. Need to be looking at 9 points, need to be looking at getting the goals. This could get into goal difference, to be fair. So I think the next time we play, it's very likely that we'll probably be second in the league for the first time in a long time. And then we'll have a chance to go top again against Killie. We need to be looking to put on a big show in there and put a bit of pressure on Rangers before they play St Johnstone. So I think we're well and truly in the midst of a very close title fight. We can still win it. I know I've been quite negative in saying I don't think we will. I just think the board have left us a bit light for whatever reason. It's totally baffling. But for me, fully behind Brendan and the team, and I really hope they can dig it out. But I've relieved this week. I've been quite relieved. When I was getting into the 90th minute against Hibs, I thought, fuck, this is just going to totally fall to bits. And you've seen a lot of passion for the manager, and I think you even said, I've not watched it after the game, he was quite defiant. And look, I've always liked Brendan, I still like Brendan, and I'd love to see him lift the title at the end of the season. So I hope they can improve the style of play, become a bit more fluent and a bit better to watch. And it'd be great to fucking tank Killie, because we've struggled massively against them this season. Two defeats to them, and the game we won was quite close. I think it was 3-1. So overall, credit to the manager and the team. Two difficult away games, we've won them. It wasn't exactly brilliant football, but hey-ho, if you'd have got that result and we were still 8 clear this week, we would all be fucking absolutely buzzing. So, fully behind them in the league and the cup, and here we're still in both competitions. We're in our hands. We really should get to the Scottish Cup semi-final, and I think we need to get to Ibrox at least level in points, and then we'll see how it goes there. So, aye, a lot of football still to be played, and I guess you just need to fucking buckle up and get ready for it. I think there's this idea that the fans are up for a title fight. I've already kind of rubbished that. But again, of course we're up for it. We're going to back the team to the hilt. We're going to sing. We're going to shout. We're going to do whatever we can to help them. But just because you hate the board and want to fuck them right out the door doesn't mean you don't want the team to drag us out of the line. So, aye, it's going to be a mad couple of months. But, hey-ho, let's go.
Aye, and just on what you say is, for anybody that's not seen it, the comments that I read from Brendan, he said that people will look to jump to bring us down and bring me down. I'm here to win, and for sure we will have our day. So he was sort of questioning the negative narrative that's sort of about the club, and I think he's quite right to bring that up. It does a bit like that at the moment. Danny, what do you sort of put that down to? Like, as Tony said, since that Hearts game at Celtic Park, we've won 8 out of 9. So we're not in any well near terrible form. Obviously, that Aberdeen game was disappointing, but we've won 8 out of 9, and even Tony's right, I think, about the positives from the likes of Joe Hart and Adam Eda coming in. There is a few sort of spots. We've got our players back from the Asian Cup as well, minus Rio Hatate, of course. But what do you think about the feeling that's sort of in the place now? And is it just a case of trying to keep pace with Rangers? Well, not keep pace because we're ahead at the moment, but as Tony said, at the very least we're likely to be level on points when we take kick-off on Saturday, and at worst could be behind on goal difference.
I think it's coming back to the field in the way that we have, because it all happened pretty quickly. We were 8 clear. I know they always had like a game in hand in that, but you know, you had the Hibs game at Easter Road, and then I think Motherwell at home, and then there was Killie away, and then Hearts at home, and you're like, it all happened pretty quickly. It just looked like a collapse, and then you kind of get back. We beat them, and then we won the 4 games before Christmas, well, before the winter break, sorry. And you just thought they were going to kick on again, and then the Ross County game was pretty poor. They just didn't really create much at all. And they looked like a team that were out their stride, and even though it's the first league game back for the break, they shouldn't really be looking like they're missing a stride or so. So that was worrying. I think the booing at the end of that game as well, it was just clearly meant at the board, like, it was clearly meant that, like, we need to get players in for this title race, because it always has been a title race, do you know what I mean? Even though we were so far clear at one point, they've started winning, so it was clear to see that it was always going to be a title race. We just had to equip the manager and the rest of the team with the best tools available, and we haven't done that. So that kind of, I think the reaction to the Ross County game was clearly aimed at the board, but it definitely spilled over a wee bit. You know, Rodgers had a say on, I think, a couple of players were probably wondering what was going on as well. But the Aberdeen game just came in at a bad time, and the result even, because we very nearly nicked that. We should have been out of sight in the first half. But it's just that it's like a perfect storm a wee bit. You know, the results were there, but we won the, there was a break in between. So sorry to say, oh, you won 6-7, whatever it was in a row. But there was like a 3-week break in that. Well, we're expecting to come back with 3-4 new players, you know, excited for the rest of the season. And it's like, yeah, well, it's only Bucky Fissle, we're playing at home. So still time to bring players in. And then, well, it was Ross County. The manager was just about to leave, but horrible form at home. We should win, still time to bring in players. And then before you know it, you're loaning Adam Ida for Norwich later on. And the crowd want, Tony's right, the crowd want to back the team, they want to back the support, they want to back the manager, they want to get everybody. They've not really had a performance to rally around in a while, bar the Rangers game, but they can, their games take care of themselves. But the day was a good one. The day was a good one. And I can see we weren't quite there, but we created a lot of chances late on in the game when St Mirren started to tire. We seemed to finish the game strongly, which is different because usually we sort of kind of collapse in the second half of games where we just, as soon as we lose a goal or we lose a hard on it to make a good save, and then you could just feel the goal coming. Whereas the day I thought St Mirren played quite well and they had a lot of sustained pressure, but they seen it out well and they finished the game strongly, so maybe that's something to look forward that it can take forward to the rest of the season. But it's going to be a slog to the end of the season. It's going to be tough. There's going to be, both teams are going to drop points because I don't think the Rangers are great. We are certainly not great at the minute. And we you know, the Tati and CCB, they walk into our team every week. Taylor walks into our team, and whether you know, people have got their own opinion on that, but obviously Taylor, that's 3 first team players missing. Johnston, the right back, again, that's 4. That play in the team every week. So you're going to struggle, but hopefully we can see it out. I'm a wee bit more optimistic than Tony. I think it's about time that we went on a run. And I thought the day was quite significant for Rodgers. He played the kind of, I know Kyogo played deeper, but he played Kyogo and Ida together. Palma and Maeda. Abada's cameo at Easter Road was nothing short of disgraceful. I mean, there was at points I thought he was playing for Hibs. So Maeda, the day, I thought it was pretty good, but that one, the second half, where he touches the ball by the guy, everybody knows he's going to put the ball into the stone. And I just love him with surprises. He just dink one into the box for somebody to run on it. Like he did for Jota in the semi-final last year. But you seem to get one of them every blue moon. But going forward, it's the club need to unite. You know, the crowd are desperate to rally around the team. You can see it. You seen it Easter Road when they got the winner. I mean, it was a really big roar at the end when they blew the whistle. It was a bit of celebration after the game. Rodgers showed a bit of emotion towards the crowd, and Rodgers obviously hadn't won there before, so that was a big result. But it's obvious that the fans want to rally around the team. They need to give them I think the day might go a wee way towards that, but we're screaming out for like a total performance where we just dismantle a team from start to finish and the crowd get really behind the team, and then we can take it forward from there. But until we actually do that, it looks like we're going to just keep eating out results until the next time we don't get so lucky. But it's going to be, I mean, what is it, 3 months? It's going to be a very, very long 3 months to the end of the season.
Aye, and just on what you said at the end there, I think it will be more along the lines of eating out results until we do get players like Hatate and Carter Bickles back, Taylor, and as you say, Taylor will probably be back next weekend, and you like to think for the game after that. I'm sure Rodgers says that he's pretty close, but just we're the team that scored the most goals in the league, so we clearly have the capability to win the league and goal difference if it does come down to it. But I think the next few weeks it is just sort of about getting by, and if we can keep this winning run going until Ibrox per se, then there's every chance that they might drop points along the way as well. Like I watched there. Game for my sins on Tuesday, and like I don't think they are. That says to you in the group chat, that made me believe Celtic was in the league more than a few Celtic performances the last few weeks. But I just don't think they're anything special. They like, as much as I don't see it as a positive that we're not in Europe, the fact that they have got European games and that coming up, there's got to be, you'd like to think, more chances that they will drop points. So I think it is just sort of imperative that we do keep ticking along. And you know what, it might just be the change in sort of shape and getting Ida and Kyogo on the pitch from the start. Like, does just allow Kyogo to burst into that red hot form that we know he's capable of. And he does already score, showed that he's got a couple of goals and he's had a lot of chances as well. So I think he'll be a decent signing for the last 3 months of the season as well. But up next, we do have Kilmarnock at home. As Tony said, they've already beat us twice this season, once in a cup and once in the league in December, and the game that we beat them at Celtic Park. It was 3-1, but it was a pretty tight game overall, and they did come out and have a go. And they're a team that have got a lot of good attacking options with the boy Armstrong. They've obviously just signed Van Veen, Vassell's there as well, and I think Marley Watkins has scored a few goals the last few weeks as well. So they're a team that I think will test their defence this coming Saturday, and I think that's why I'm not worrying about goal difference or that. And now I think it's just a case of getting, like, if we win the game 2-1 again on Saturday or 1-0, then I'm not going to be on straight on Twitter or Facebook or whatever moaning about it and worrying. I think it's just imperative that we get these wins on the board, and especially against Kilmarnock, who I think right along with Hearts will be the two teams that are battling for third. So I think it's going to be one of your tougher games. Tony, what's your thoughts going into that? As we say, they've beat us twice, and even the game at Celtic Park was a pretty tightly contested game as well. What are you expecting come Saturday, and would you make any changes to today's team?
Well, coming over for it, look forward to it. No, I would play the same team, I think, unless Taylor's fit. As much as Burnaby's been okay, I'd bring Taylor in, because I think Taylor is a better player. Hopefully Carter Vickers is getting closer and Hippati's getting closer, but I'd play the same team and go for it. I think we need a performance. I don't think like another scrapy 1-0 win like the Ross County game's gonna really do. We're at home. Killy have done well under McInnes, but come on, fuck Brendan. Used to batter McInnes for fun, so it's a must win game. It's at home. Hopefully the pitch isn't better, Nick, for fuck's sake. Hopefully we just turn it on and we could get like a 3 or 4-0. That would be exactly what we need to really put the pressure back on them before they go to St Johnstone's. So, but I guess, look, if we win 2-0 and it's boring, I'll be happy with that. But no, it's a must-win game. So I think we need to keep flying out the traps, try and put pressure on them, try and move the ball as quick as possible.
Hi, and Danny, what's your thoughts on it? Would you be making any changes to today's setup? I know people are maybe a bit surprised that we moved to a more conventional sort of two up top. I know Kyogo did drop a bit, but would you see that being the way that we go on Saturday, or do you think that he maybe will drop back to the more conventional, the three centre mids in the middle?
No, I think he'll bring back Bernardo and probably drop either. Try and get more control into midfield. Kelly might pack the midfield, and they're quite good on the break, Kelly, because I could see if Rodgers was to go 4-2-4 or 4-4-2 or whatever, but I could see McInnes matching up with him, and like games get stretched, we tend to really struggle. So even though that's typically what you'd want is a game to get stretched and we could use our superior players, but the way, like the Kelly game in December, it got really stretched and it suited Kilmarnock, kind of like the Aberdeen game last week as well. So I think he'll bring back Bernardo and he'll play 4-3-3 again, and he'll just, it'll be back to kind of what we've played, and just hopefully we can kick on and, as Tony said, get a really good performance. But I've just seen Rodgers talking about Abada there. About Abada's absence, he said he wasn't in the right frame of mind. It's been challenging for him. I felt when he came on to the game the other night, it just wasn't him. So he said we've given this chance to have a few days to clear his mind. I'll chat with him again next week to see where he's at. So I mean, obviously Roger's seen it as well. I don't know. I mean, Abada was that fucking bad the other night. It wasn't just one of the, it's bad. It was like, it's really bad. So something's got to be up. If Abada's on it, he's very effective, and his goals would be great. Be really great to have his goals foot out wide, but he's not really kicked his arse off season. Obviously, there's other things going on. After the park, he's probably got people in his head here telling him to leave Celtic and whatever. And Tony's right, if players don't want to be here, then we shouldn't be keeping them. But I'm sorry if I hijacked your question with that. I just seen it on Twitter. But I'd like to see us actually attack Kilmarnock next week and put them away. But they're a good team, and they're very tough to beat. But if our best players turn up at Parkhead and play well, we should be able to beat them by a few goals.
Aye, as you say, if we turn up, then that'll be the sort of main thing. No, I think it will be tonight. I'll go first for a prediction for this one. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same as when we played them at Celtic Park earlier in the season. I wouldn't be surprised if it finished like 3-1. We sort of, you know, it was 2-1 for a lot of that game. And then I think Greg Taylor got the third goal to sort of seal it in the last 10 minutes of that game. But I do think it'll be tight. As I say, I think Kilmarnock, there's a load of attackers that are capable of causing us problems. Like that was obviously seen in December when we sort of imploded in the second half, and they probably deserve to beat us that day. I'll go 2-1 Celtic, and I think that Kyogo and Ida will get the goals for Celtic. I just can't see us turning it on. I think it's just going to be a bit of a slog for the next few weeks, and as has been mentioned by you, it's like once our better players start returning, then hopefully we do sort of get that momentum going. And like the thing is, we're entering the final third day season. If we do just sort of eke out these results, it is sort of going to get us by. It might not be the most pleasing on the eye at time, but we're at that sort of stage of the season where results are all encompassing and all that really matter. But yeah, I'll go 2-1. Tony, what's your prediction?
I'll go 2-0 Celtic. A Stuart Finlay own goal double.
Danny, what do you think the score will be?
I'd fucking love that. I think it's more likely to be 2-1 Kelly with Stuart Finlay double than an OG double, but I think Celtic will win, and I'll predict, I think it'll be 3-0. I don't think it'll be a total hammering, but I think we'll score early, and then we'll be 2 up at half time, and then we'll get a third and a second half, and either I'll come off the bench to score another penalty, because we seem to be the team that gets penalties this season. It's great. But aye, Celtic 3, Kilmarnock now.
I would certainly take that. So there you go, that's 3 Celtic wins predicted from us, and I used to be par for the course, but the last few weeks that might surprise some, but I think we'd be delighted with any Celtic win come Saturday. Let us know what you think the score will be. Just go to your Twitter, Facebook or Instagram, just search for Full Time as a Podcast. Let us know what you think the score will be and who will get the goals. Anybody gets it spot on, we'll give you a wee shout out on here. But we will be back after that game to discuss whatever the result is that day, and we'll also preview the upcoming games, because although it'll be one a week, they will come sitting fast. We've obviously got a trip to Fir Park the weekend after Kilmarnock, so we'll be discussing that at length as well, I'm sure. But thanks very much if you've taken the time to listen to us today. If you've made it this far, thanks. We appreciate it. And we'll speak to you next week. Cheers.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.